I'm David Schreiner Khan, and this is Smashing the Plateau. No matter how successful you are, there's probably at least one area where roadblocks are keeping you from fully achieving your goals. Fortunately, you've come to the right place. Every expert I interview on this podcast is different, but they all have one thing in common. They know how to fix problems that keep us stuck. The mission of Smashing the Plateau is helping solopreneur experts build more stable and consistent recurring revenue in their business. Smashing the Plateau is part of the Best Network, providing expert, individual, and team mentorship, peer support, and curated educational content that reinforces and expands our goal of the show, helping solopreneur experts get the recurring revenue they deserve. To learn more about us and Best Network and schedule time to speak with me about how to smash your plateau, go to smashingtheplateau.com/bestnetwork. That's smashingtheplateau.com/bestnetwork. Today, I'm pleased to welcome Natasha Todorovic-Cowan. Whether it is resistance to change, cultures in conflict, or dysfunctional teams, Natasha's expertise includes unraveling people messes from the C-suite to the shop floor. Rooted in 70 years of research and application, Natasha has more than 25 years of experience applying spiral dynamics assessments, tools, and programs to reveal the root causes of people problems. She has impacted clients around the globe seeking to dig into their cultural DNA leadership and to affect change. With clients on five continents, she helps you get to the heart of what prevents leaders, teams, and organizations from being their best selves. Natasha, welcome to the show.
David, it's such a treat to be with you today.
Natasha, what is spiral dynamics? I know I read it in the introduction, but can you talk about what it actually is?
That could be a very long story. But the spiral part, really, spiral dynamics is a brand, and it covers an assessment suite. It covers training programs we do. It covers a series of services that we provide. But essentially, the spiral part of it refers to human nature. How do people think? How are they motivated? How do they organize? How do they prefer to lead or be led? How do they prefer to learn? How do they prefer to meet? To be managed. And then the dynamics part is, how do they change? And so that essentially is spiral dynamics in a nutshell.
Right. I see why you say it could be a long answer, because these are each one of these areas, how people think, how they're motivated, how they're organized, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Each one of them could be a podcast episode in and of themselves.
Well, you know, we've got enough material to talk for 30 days or more on this.
Whom do you serve? Who's your ideal client?
Well, it varies. Our ideal client tends to be the kind of person who is interested in other human beings. And not all leaders and managers are. But if they're interested in how people think, how they're motivated, how they grow, and how they change, then and they're sensitive to the people stuff, then they become our ideal client.
Natasha, do you think that the way we affect change through these various elements that you just described is any different now than it might have been 10, 20, 30, 50 years ago?
Well, there are a number of things that are very different, and then there are a number of things that are the same. Human nature evolves rather slowly, but we've seen some really significant shifts over the last couple of decades with technology, with globalization, with that ease of travel from place to place, that's really shifting the way people see one another and the way they interact in their environments.
So what are some of the big changes in the way people see and interact one another, and how does that play out in our global workplace?
Well, some of the ways are in the way they see one another is the hierarchies, and the hierarchies are breaking down. And when hierarchies break down, what that gives us are flatter organizations. And 40 years ago, flat organizations really didn't exist the way they do now. And we're still seeing that cultural conflict, even in today's politics. those who idealize a higher authority versus those who are willing to challenge higher authority and fully expect to be treated as equals for that challenge, to those who see one another as completely and totally equal and they work interdependently. So the nature of work is changing, the way people treat one another is changing, and there's struggles between these tectonic plates of thinking and motivation and interaction.
Right. So what's an example of an organization where there might be some of these conflicts in the way people relate to the hierarchies and relate to one another? And how can an organization like that overcome some of these challenges? Or maybe an example where they have overcome them. I'm not sure what might be a good story to illustrate this.
Well, one of the, if we compare two different kinds of organizations, say we take a Zappos versus the U.S. military, we might not totally be able to describe what those cultures are, but we know that there's a big difference in terms of the organizational structures, in terms of the way they react to one another, in terms of our perceptions of them.
Right. Those are really good examples. So let's say you're running a business and you may think or behave like you're running the U.S. military, yet your employees are more likely to respond to a culture like the one that exists in Zappos. What do you do?
Then as a leader, you've got to change. If those employees are meeting the needs of your customers and they're meeting the needs of the marketplace, then as a leader, you've got to bite the bullet and accept that you've got to shift the way that you're doing things. And that can be pretty scary if you've been in business for 20 or 30 or 40 years, because it seems like you know what you've been doing. You've been doing it for a long time. It worked, and something is unraveling that you can't entirely describe. And you're feeling like you don't want to trust those employees, but there's something that they know that you can't quite put your finger on. And that's a scary place to be. And what we do is we run a series of assessments that enable you to understand what your employees need, who you are as a leader, and what your marketplace is demanding, and if they are indeed shifting. Because one of the things we talk about, David, is congruence. If you are congruent with your marketplace, if you're congruent with your employees, if you're a congruent leader, then you're going to be much more effective than if you're a half step or more behind the marketplace or your employees.
Yeah, that's for sure. Why do you think it's important to start with assessments, Natasha?
Well, so frequently people respond to questions with their own view of where things are. And that view may have elements of the truth, and everybody tells the truth as far as they're able to, but that doesn't mean they've got the whole picture. And our assessment suite picks up on stuff that you normally won't see. So we work with a group of really courageous entrepreneurs and business people, and they're currently working on something that we've got psychological blindness to, which is the world outside of us. We're so adapted to reacting in a particular way that we don't see that world. And when that world changes and changes dramatically, it's only then that we look back and go, oh, we should have seen that. How did we possibly miss it? So by knowing what's going on in that world through assessment, what was invisible becomes visible. And then you can pinpoint specifically what it is that you're trying to tackle. For example, we're working with an organization. They were really excited by the fact that they were growing 10% every year. They thought that was fantastic. And then we took a step back, did a bunch of assessment, and did some research and showed them that their competitors were growing at 25%. And that was a huge awakening for them. And that was something they didn't see until we completed the diagnostics with them.
Yeah, that's interesting. And what made them come to you in the first place?
What made them come to us was they were having significant problems in their, well, at their executive level. And they were seeing a shift in ownership. Their CEO was no longer with them. Their board was somewhat dysfunctional. And they knew that a change needed to happen. And they knew it needed to be done differently. And I mean, what can be more different than spiral dynamics, right?
Right. What impact did the comparison to the growth rate of competitors make in how they thought about some of the challenges they first came to you to talk about?
Well, what was interesting was, I mean, this goes to the very heart of what you're trying to do with Smashing the Plateau. If we looked at their assessment results, it said that they were happy, that things were working well, that things were pretty darn stable. And the marketplace was shifting and moving and transforming right under their feet, and they never noticed it.
Right.
And by doing the assessment, by showing them how that marketplace was changing, they had to confront the sobering fact that what they were doing had become out of date. And they were so focused on what was going on internally that they hadn't noticed what was happening out there, the larger shifts.
Right. Yeah. I guess the question I had, and you kind of answered that, was did their focus on the internal issues have any connection with what was going on externally?
Yeah, absolutely. Because they were focused on the internal politics. They were focused on making sure their processes and their systems and their manufacturing and their supply chain was all working effectively. That meant they were missing these bigger tectonic shifts in the environment outside. And they were expecting sales and marketing and the external facing groups to be noticing that, but they were so nose to the grindstone that they missed those larger shifts in the marketplace that we were able to track.
Right. It almost sounds to me like the benefit of having an annual physical for an individual is the physician is going to do an assessment on the most important aspects of your physical health. And you may have, over the course of the previous whatever number of months it has been since your previous physical, you may have been focused on particular pain points that have cropped up. And you may not be in tune to some of the things that the physician's going to uncover with those assessments.
I love that analogy, David. It's fantastic. You're the frog in the water. You're getting used to it. And it's not
exactly.
Yeah, it's not until you get off of that leg that you've been sitting on that suddenly the pins and needles start to hurt.
Right, which is why everyone should have a physical on some regular basis. And I suspect for an organization, the same thing is true. You should do kind of assessments, these comprehensive assessments periodically so that you can uncover what you don't know that you don't know. Because that's the part that always has the biggest negative impact. It's not what, like when you're creating a plan, your plan is based on what you know that you know and what you know that you don't know.
Yep.
And the biggest problems are what you don't know that you don't know.
Yeah.
And you can't figure those out on your own.
You can't until it whacks you upside the head. And usually when that happens, it's too late.
Exactly. Exactly. So, Natasha, I wondered if we could talk a little bit, you know, you've been doing this for a long time. Talk a little bit about your business model and what works well for you, particularly in terms of the revenue model. Because many people that are in the kinds of roles that you're in as an outsider working with organizations, many struggle to create consistent, stable revenue. And I'd love to hear a little bit about how the revenue model works for you.
Well, this has grown up over 20 plus years of different iterations of things that do and don't work. But we're fortunate enough to have partners in, oh, I don't know, about 10, 11, 12, 13, 14 different countries. And what our partners do is sell our training programs. And the training is one Very simple revenue model. And one of the things that we do is certification in spiral dynamics assessments, which enables people to use some of the tools. So that's a separate revenue model. Then the other piece, we've got some books and we've got articles, and that enables people to get to know us at a very basic level. Not that books are really revenue, but it does give you a measure as to whether people are interested, and it tells you whether they're really listening to the kind of stuff that you have to say. And then I've also got the corporate clients. So there was a year where all we did was training and there were no corporate clients that year. Well, that training compensated for that particular dip. And it was 2009. It was the best year we'd ever had. And then when the training takes a dip, then you've always got the corporate clients that come in and they've got their team building or their culture or their leadership issues or their change implementation issues. So that compensates when the training's sort of taking a dip.
Right.
And we've also got online training as well, so we can nurture those advanced clients who are interested in going deeper with us.
So clearly having a set of diversified revenue streams is really important to the health of your business.
Yes, that and along with the promise of the brand and the consistent delivery on a really high quality product.
How many people are involved in your business?
Well, it depends on what we mean by people. Like I said, we've got about 10, 11, 12 partners, international partners, who do the marketing of our programs internationally. And I've got a couple of VAs, I've got a PA, and then we've also got customers who've been certified around the world, probably, and I consider them both friends and clients and customers. And there's probably, I don't know, a couple thousand of them. So there's always a flux and flow with people who are involved in certain projects and who need certain support. And we've got, what else have we got? We've got about 5 teaching assistants who help us on the online program. So we've got a lot to juggle now that you asked that question.
Yeah. So, and what's your role in the company?
Co-founder and CEO.
So as the CEO, what would you say are some of the challenges you've had to overcome to develop this healthy mix of different kinds of revenue?
Well, there have been a lot of challenges over the years. One has been with a misunderstanding of what spiral dynamics means and a challenge with a former business partner who really didn't stand for the best in others, who we had to part ways with. So that meant a huge battle over intellectual property and direction of the brand. Also, more recent challenge was my husband wrote Spiral Dynamics, the book. He originally developed the original courses, and we worked together for almost 2 decades, and he passed away. So losing your best friend, your business partner, one of the key assets of your organization is an absolute devastating challenge. And that's been something that I've been coping with over the last couple of years, along with the very personal loss of it.
Right, right. Yeah, I know for people that have family businesses, and this, I guess, you would qualify that way if you were in business with your husband, when you actually lose a family member, it can be really hard. I recently was involved with another case where the head of household who ran the business passed away quite suddenly. And the rest of the family members who were involved in the business, not only did they have to step up and take on new roles, but they didn't really have much space to grieve personally for the loss. It can be really challenging. So have a lot of sympathy for you.
Thank you.
Going through this.
Thanks, David. It shakes you to your very core. And it, you know, I mean, I still feel like that cartoon character who's, you know, the head and the arms and the legs, but the giant cannonball has gone through them. So you feel like this two-dimensional version of yourself.
Yeah, yeah. On the flip side, given everything you've accomplished and these major transitions that you've gone through, some very challenging and others not, what's your vision for the future?
Well, the vision for the future is really been a shift in who the ideal customer is. And what we used to do was make training available to anyone who was interested in the training approach. And I've since identified more of an ideal customer. And what we're doing is shifting to a invite-only model of development with this, and really changing the way that the training portion is delivered. And I'm focusing a lot more now on the changing organization and implementing a new approach in terms of change and delivering that change and helping organizations through change.
Yeah, that sounds like it's actually a pretty significant shift.
Well, given the fact I'm changing, might as well, right?
Correct, correct. Yeah, so stepping outside of your own business for a minute, Natasha, whom do you know personally who's done a really remarkable job of smashing the plateau?
You know, I work with an incredible group of, well, handpicked, through invitation only, rock star group of courageous people who are deeply and committed to their own personal transformation. And been watching them very courageously take on issues of relationship and relating to one another and looking at themselves deeply and questioning whether or not the way that they're appearing in the world or translating the world or seeing the world is really the truth of things. And watching them go through that, I've also got the honor of facilitating them. And it's really been my honor and privilege to support them through their journey. And it takes a lot of courage to smash those plateaus of who one used to be and take that courageous leap into the unknown of becoming the next best iteration of who you are going to be without knowing what that's going to look like.
Yeah, it certainly does take a lot of courage. And then shifting back to your business, what's coming up in the immediate future? What do we have to look forward to?
Well, I'm working on a 5-day change challenge, and I'm looking at trying to find a way to help large organizations get the shifts with their teams and employees that they're usually impatient with at the top and then totally missing in the gap between envisioning it and communicating it downwards.
That sounds intriguing. And do you have a free gift that you'd like to share with our audience?
Happy to. There are some advanced resources if you go to spiraldynamics.org that your audience is more than welcome to. And if they sign up, then they can email me at natasha@spiraldynamics.org, and I'd be happy to give them free access to the 5-day chain challenge when it is available.
Sounds great. And besides the free gift, how can listeners learn more about you and follow you?
They can go to Spiral Dynamics. That's SpiralDynamics.org.
Sounds great. Well, Natasha, thank you so much for taking the time to join us today on Smashing the Plateau. My guest today has been Natasha Todorovic-Cowan, owner of NVC Consulting. Thank you again, Natasha, for joining us.
It's been a treat and a pleasure to share this time with you, David.
Thank you for listening to Smashing the Plateau. The mission of Smashing the Plateau is helping solopreneur experts build more stable and consistent recurring revenue in their business. Smashing the Plateau is part of the Best Network, providing expert individual and team mentorship, peer support, and curated educational content that reinforces and expands our goal of the show, helping solopreneur experts get the recurring revenue they deserve. To learn more about us and Best Network and schedule time to speak with me about how to smash your plateau, go to smashingtheplateau.com/bestnetwork. That's smashingtheplateau.com/bestnetwork. We want to help you smash your plateau.